Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, we're going to expose the deception of crooked pastors and televangelists who twist God's Word to make millions of dollars each year. See, this video will not only show you how they twist scripture, but it'll teach you what the truth actually is. So are you ready? Let's go.
When you don't tithe, you've got a ticking time bomb in your pocket. And it'll explode right when you needed it not to. Why would anyone not want to tithe? Have you figured out by now God doesn't need your money? He's doing very well. But the reason he insists on it is so that he has the opportunity to enter into our affairs and then turn around and bless us and spend it all back on us.
So according to false teacher Kenneth Copeland, if you're carrying cash right now, it's like a ticking time bomb ready to go off. Oh no! Well, I'm sure glad I don't carry cash anymore, otherwise I'd be in big trouble. And then he says, so God insists that you tithe. Oh really? Please show me that verse in scripture, Kenneth. Oh, that's right, you can't, because it's not there. But then he takes it one step further, almost like a used car salesman, and doubles down. And he says, and God wants to take our tithes and turn them around and spend it all on us. I mean, well, that sounds good to me. You know, I want some more clothes and a new car and some more toys. Come on, you guys, God did not say any of this. And no, God does not command us to tithe. See, Jesus called out these false teachers in Matthew 7:15, and he called them ravenous wolves. But I want you to look at the word ravenous in the Greek. It's harpax, which means a swindler or an extortioner. Jesus was saying that these kind of people are in it for your money. You have to hear this, you guys. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 echoes the very same things, saying that false teachers will make merchandise out of us. Please understand that there is not one verse to the New Testament church that says we are supposed to tithe, but greedy, money-hungry wolves will twist God's word to trick you into giving. So let's look at several verses and examples of people twisting scripture to make millions. First is Matthew 13, verses 3 and 8, which talks about the sower sowing seed, and afterwards it yielded a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. Now, watch how it's twisted.
Every time God gives you an opportunity to give, he is giving you an opportunity to increase your income. Matthew 13, 3 and 8, Jesus said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and the seed fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. 100-fold, actually, with a calculator, is 10,000%. Wall Street doesn't have that.
Well, that was false teacher John Hagee. And let's be crystal clear here. Jesus is not talking about money. He is talking about sowing the word of God. The gospel is what yields fruit, not your money. Luke chapter 8 is the parallel passage to Matthew 13. And it clearly states in Luke 8:11 that the seed that was sown is the word of God. See, John Hagee is doing this to suck you in and to manipulate you to give. Next is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and empty out for you a blessing until it is beyond enough. Now let's watch how Joyce Meyer twists this verse.
God even says in Malachi, try me and see if you bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, if I won't open the windows of heaven. Try me. Wow. God's saying, come on, put it to the test. Just do it and see what I do in your life.
So according to false teacher Joyce Meyer, we are told to bring in the tithes and offerings and watch God just pour out a blessing. Woohoo! That sounds amazing. Sorry, Joyce. Try again. First of all, God was addressing the wicked priests who were taking food and giving it to someone else. Second of all, the tithe was never money. You need to hear this, you guys. It was always food. Look back at the verse. It says, so that there may be food in my house. Also, for a reference, look at Leviticus 27, verse 30. This was a judgment on wicked priests who were robbing God and robbing people. But again, if you ignore the context of the verse, you can isolate it and make it say whatever you want. Kind of like Matthew 7:1, judge not lest ye be judged. They stop there and ignore the rest of the context. Next is Genesis 8:22, which says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. But watch as this false teacher twists it and mangles it, completely out of context, by the way, and ignores the true meaning to get you to give.
So Manaiva tithe and offering message this morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Let's say that together. Shall not cease. It says, as long as the earth exists, it says seed time and harvest, it's always going to be in practice. It's always going to be in momentum. It's always going to produce for us. And so we can understand from this that us being able to plant our seed and to reap a harvest is something that is going to be in motion for our entire life. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so it says that there's a harvest that's coming to us, and we're going to reap that harvest if we don't surrender, if we don't give up, if we don't throw in the towel, we're going to reap that harvest.
So according to her, if you just don't give up and you just keep giving, you're going to reap a harvest. All right, I want to reap a harvest. Come on, you guys. This is simply playing on the greed of people. It's all about you. If you give, you're going to get a lot more back. No, again, they use these verses to justify teaching the false doctrine of sowing a seed, which says that if you give money, you're going to get a big increase back, or you're going to get that miracle or that breakthrough you've been wanting. But is this what this verse is saying? Absolutely not. This has nothing to do with giving money. The context is Genesis 8, verses 20 through 22, where God has promised to never flood the world again. And as a result, the seasons will remain and the growing of crops will continue and not stop. But hey, it sure makes for great manipulation right before you're getting ready to take an offering. That's for sure. Next is Luke 6, verse 38, which says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. But let's see how Joyce Meyer spins it again.
In Luke, it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. Listen to that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You know, maybe you're not used to giving much. Maybe you think you can't afford to do that, but you know what? You can't afford not to.
I'm not kidding you guys. Every time a false teacher hears or sees the word give in scripture, they start salivating.
Oh, I can just smell the money already.
And they start coming up with a plan where they can twist or manipulate a verse to make it seem like it's about money. But this is a lie. God is not talking about money in this verse. The context, which is Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 38, makes it clear. And when you look at the context, you'll see that it's about something different. Again, not money. It's about mercy and forgiveness and love. See, false teachers know that these verses are not about money, but they don't want you to know that they're not about money. Because sadly, most people in the church today do not read their Bibles or study God's word. And what's the result of this? You need to hear this. These false teachers live large. Most of them are multi-millionaires. Next is Matthew 23, verse 23, which says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Now, this seems really straightforward by Jesus. But of course, false teachers like Robert Morris is going to twist the heck out of it and try to say that Jesus commands you to tithe. Watch this.
If Jesus said it, that you ought to tithe, in the New Testament, in red. Would you do it? You want to see the verse? Matthew 23:23, Jesus is speaking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe, 10%, of mint, anise, and cumin. Those are spices. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Watch very carefully. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Okay, here's what Jesus said. You guys give tithes, not only of your first fruits, but you even give tithes of the spices that you're going to put on your food. But you've neglected justice, mercy, and faith. Then Jesus says, you ought to do that. You ought to do that. But don't leave the other undone. Now, one time after service, a guy came up to me and said, Pastor, I think that these you ought to have done refers to justice, mercy, and faith. I said, I don't think it does grammatically, and I don't think it does even in the original language, but I said, let's just say for a moment that your perspective is right. Let's just say this. These you ought to have done refers to justice, mercy, and faith. I said to him, what does the rest of the verse say? Without leaving the other undone. I got you either way.
Now, there are a few problems with this argument, so let's break that down. First, did you see who Jesus was speaking to? Remember, context is super important. He was speaking to the Jews, who were absolutely under the old covenant and were commanded by God to tithe. See, we are under the new covenant and we are not Jews. So this verse is not a command to us. Also, please hear me, you guys. Jews were to tithe food, not money. We went through that in Malachi 3 verse 10. But also I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse 5 for further reference. But again, false teachers will not tell you what I'm telling you, because a bag of corn or potatoes or carrots won't help buy their mansions and their big jets. Oh no! Think about this. See, after Jesus died and rose again, he instituted the new covenant. And then the temple was destroyed, which brought an end to the tithing system, which, by the way, was in essence a temple tax that came to around 23%, not 10%. And if you want to see more on this whole tithing thing, go and watch my video, which is right now up on this channel. Also, just for good measure, let's watch Jesse Duplantis get caught trying to celebrate his success and his wealth, all while trying to use the word of God to justify it.
Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Read that and pull that up in the Amplified. Verse 16 of Psalms chapter 49, if you can do that. Let me read it while she's getting it. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Read that.
Well, it's Amplified says it, be not afraid when an ungodly one is made rich.
That's true.
When the wealth and glory of his house are increased, and goes on, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away.
Oh, yeah,
his
I understand.
Glory will not descend.
See, God don't care if someone's ungodly to be rich or godly to be rich. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever at all. You see what I'm saying?
Did you see that? Jesse just got caught trying to twist God's word to justify his ungodly greed. He tried to make it look like he's a man of God, and all the money he has proves he's from God. This is what false teachers do. They use God for selfish gain. Look at Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. and also 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. See, Psalm 49 is about the foolishness of the wicked, those who trust in wealth, because no amount of money can keep anyone from the grave, and no amount of money can get you into heaven. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11? He says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evils, and some, by aspiring to it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness." See, God constantly says in His Word that our focus should be on the things that do not perish, rather than the things of this world. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. As Christians, our treasure is Jesus. Our reward is Jesus. And our aim is Jesus. Not how much money you can accumulate, or toys you can get, or how many people you can impress. Because the richest man isn't the one with the biggest bank account. The richest man is the one who's fully content with what God has given them.